As Sutton sweeps into a sunny Snetterton after a sensational Browns, will we see him take the top spoils once again?
Hello everybody and welcome back. It is race week once again. We are off to Snetterton 300 this week in Norfolk. Sunny, sunny Norfolk. It could be the first weekend where rain doesn't play a part for the 2023 season, which is great. Before we go any further, Sam, how are you?
I'm good. It feels like the races are coming thick and fast already this season. It doesn't feel like we've got much of a break in between them. And I'm excited for it. Looking forward to what Snetterton can produce. I know it's not your favourite circuit, but I think we might get some good racing this weekend.
Eh. We'll see. It's not my favourite circuit, only because there's not many obvious overtaking zones, but we're going to come to that. There's some news to go through first and foremost, and the big breaking news this week is the BTCC has found the copy and paste button and the 2024 calendar has been released.
Yeah, it's slightly underwhelming. I know it's the earliest that it's been released, obviously not even the start of the third round yet, but it is just a copy and paste pretty much. And did you see Alan Gow's reasons for it?
No, but I'm always very excited to hear from our Lord Gow.
So he was citing the fact that we've got an Olympics and I think a Euros next year, and he wanted to make sure that all the ITV TV rights were in the right place and we were going to get the coverage that we needed.
Okay, well, to be fair, that makes good business sense. That makes good logical sense. Yeah, fair play. What I will say, and I say it every year the calendar comes out, is give people, i.e. me, what we want. Let's have Silverstone International or just a different version of Silverstone. Please, please give the people what they want.
Well, you've already had your one wish, which is not having two rounds of Thruxton. You need to be pleased with what you've got.
I am, and I'm going to reserve judgment on the second Donington configuration to have actually seen a race there because we've not seen it how it actually works there yet.
Yep.
But I think it's a good. I think it is a good thing. I just, you know, Silverstone is such an incredible circuit, just not the version we race at.
Yeah, I mean, having six corners on a circuit doesn't normally promote that greater racing. There's mainly one action zone there. And yeah, I can understand why you'd want a slightly different layout. Possibly even rotate it year to year.
There was the year, wasn't there, pre-pandemic, when we were going to go to the other, you know, the international circuit.
Yep.
Just don't know why we've not gone back to that, man. I just don't know why. What has changed post-COVID that means we can't race at the international circuit?
Yeah, because they were meant to have media day there as well, weren't they?
Yeah.
Before the season obviously got curtailed, before it even started, really. So, yeah, it's a shame, and I can understand why you'd want to see it on there. But I think having the variety of races that we're going to have is a good thing.
I agree. My last point is that I would like to see, and I understand what you're saying from Gal's comments about making sure everything's booked in. Yeah, that makes sense. But I would like to see a rotation of the tracks at different times of the year. Like, we've got Snetterton quite early this year, which is interesting because normally Snetterton is in the height of the summer.
Yeah.
It's hot. It's, you know, it's completely different conditions to what it would be in May. It'd be quite cool to maybe see Knockhill brought forward to the start of the season, or maybe have Croft or Alton Park bought later in the season, just to have a bit of a play around with how these tracks work in different conditions.
Cut to us on the preview going, oh, I got sunburnt again this weekend.
Well, it's Snetterton. If you are going like us, take a brolly, take a hat, take some water and take some suntan lotion. You're going to need all four, regardless of whether it says it's going to be 9 degrees or it's going to be hot. It's an absolute sun trap and wind trap, is Snetterton. Right, talking of Snetterton then, 12 corners, 2.97 miles. We have the first race in 1959, and the fastest qualifying lap record is...
It's Tom Ingram. I've got it in front of me here, mate.
Oh, well, that's a bit of a come down.
Yeah, Tom Ingram's got the qualifying lap record with a 1:54.737, and that was in 2019. Sorry, have I taken the limelight away from you?
Every preview, we play the guessing game. It's been the same for 3 years. And now you've changed the format.
Would you have been happier if I'd have still guessed, even though it was in front of me?
Yes, okay. At least the viewers would have known. Who's got the race lap record?
Is it Dan Kamish?
Oh, what a guess. Well
done. Thank you. Yeah, with a 1 minute 55.682, and that was also in 2019. So, yeah, there's significant amount of action points, I think, at Snetterton. With the addition of that infield circuit that was built, probably 7-8 years ago now, there's some good viewing as well at Snetterton, which I think is always one of the highlights of the circuit. First real action zone will be Wilson, where the first hairpin is after at the second corner. And then you've got always action into Agostini, which is the hairpin on the middle of the circuit. And then quite classically down at the S's, which we all know at the S's, now known as Brundle and Nelson, we always get some good action into there as well.
I am going to ask you a question because I feel I've had to do this because you've ruined everything by being prepared.
Sorry.
According to Wikipedia, I don't know if it's been updated or not, which driver has the most wins at Snetterton?
Plato?
Yes. Would you like to take a guess how many?
13.
Have you got the sheet in front of you?
I honestly haven't on that one. I put my hands
up. Am I sharing my screen? My mistake. No. Yeah, it is 13, Jason Plato, fair play. Have you really played last year's preview before we started this?
I'm just on the ball, mate. On the ball this week. Snetterton, favourite circuit. I'm right and ready to go.
Okay, why is it your favourite circuit? Because, I know I'm always the curmudgeonly one on here. I always have the glass half empty, everything's sadness, fine. But for me, Snetterton is just slightly disappointing in that it's a great circuit to drive.
Yeah.
It's a very technical circuit. To me, there's just not enough overtaking opportunities because of the risks of... It's quite a narrow circuit. There's not many obvious places to overtake. So what is it for you that you love about Snetterton so much?
I think it's the fact of there are almost two different halves to the circuit. So in that first sector, on the 100 loop, as it were, it's very tight, it's very technical, and it's very much based on having a good chassis and good brakes. Whereas you've got the two long straights, which are power hungry, which will suit nicely the Hyundai and the BMW. And then you've got that fast bomb hole quorum area where you need good high speed grip, which you're going to get out of the Civic. I think it is a car that, or it's a track that suits many different cars, but only in certain areas. And I think it's very difficult to get your car to do all of those at once, which is why I think we see a little bit of a shake-up in results, and I think we'll see three fairly different winners across the weekend.
Three fairly different winners. That's an interesting phrase. If we look back to last year then at Snetterton and look at who did well, Tom Ingram got a treble podium, three-thirds, which is never a bad thing. If we're looking at the other title contenders, Sutton got 2 ninths and a first. Jake Hill got 2 seconds and a fifth. Colin Turkington got 2 firsts and a sixth. And if you put Dan Kamish into the title fight, which I think you have to, a seventh, an 18th and a 16th, albeit it wasn't a great year all round for Dan Cam.
No, it certainly wasn't. Of course, this one last year, it was that battle of Hill versus Turkington. And we were always questioning whether Hill should have pushed it a little bit harder, pushed a little bit more on Turkington, like he did at the opening round at Donington that year, to try and take that win, because it may well have been just enough to then possibly take him onto the title.
Whatever controversy, if you like, was set in the last year was that Collard had a podium taken away from him with a...
it's a sore subject, isn't it?
Well, it's relevant after last round's problems as well. It was a push to pass. It was the right decision. You can't push to pass. But, of course, It is testament that the Toyota goes well here. And they could be one to look out for this weekend.
Yeah.
I say this every weekend to no avail.
I know you do say it every weekend. And I think... they're going to be there or thereabouts, but we've already cited that there are the top three teams at the moment. There's your Fords, your Hyundais, and your BMWs. I tend to think the BMWs might be a little bit stronger here. A couple of big traction zones coming out of the final chicane and going onto the back straight is always going to help them out.
Yeah, massively.
And then having a decent amount of grunt maybe not the same as the Hyundais, but a decent amount down the straight, which is why they were so successful last year, taking 2 1-2s with Hill and Turkington.
Yep, I completely agree with you on that. Let's not also forget that last year, Jason Plato made his way back onto the podium with a second in race 3.
Yep.
I think it would be a minor miracle if One Motorsport get a podium this weekend, race, which guarantees that they'll get a podium.
Result, yeah.
So, yeah. No, I think there's more chance of a double hard podium than there is of a One Motorsport getting a podium. I really do. I'm so disappointed with where they're at the moment. I think if Snetterton came later in the year, once they got everything sorted, they might have had a chance. But as you pointed out a couple of moments ago, you've got two parts to Snetterton. You've got the chassis heavy part. And I just don't think they've got that all set up right in the minute to be competitive. If they have, if this came later in the year, as is normal for Snetterton, then I might give him more of a chance.
Yeah.
But I just don't seem to have the right setup at all at the minute on that car. We might have to wait until Thruxton for Cook to pour on the magic before we see anything from One Motorsport, I'm afraid.
Yeah, so as we go into Snetterton, just remind you of the standings. Camish tops them with 83 points, 5 points ahead of Tom Ingram. Sutton had a stunning weekend last time out at Brands and shot up the championship to third on 78. Turkington took a win last time out, but wasn't outstanding. Still there on 70 points, but certainly had a much better weekend than Hill on 58. Those five drivers, we're expecting to be those five drivers for the rest of the season, pretty much, unless there are some mad results. And then you've got Thompson, Chilton, Cook, Morgan and Collard.
Yeah, so it's some interesting stuff in there. Obviously, I've just had my doubts mentioned about One Motorsport. Yeah, Cook is in the top 10. He will finish consistently in the top 10 this year because that's what he does. He's very good. But I just don't think the car's got the ability at the minute to take that next step and challenge even the top five, let alone the top three. It's one of those years, I think, where we get, as we keep saying, I think 80% plus is going to be shared by five drivers, or at least five, you know, those three teams.
Yes.
I don't really see, I say maybe a Thruxton, but I don't see where One Motorsport can really do much this weekend. It's a massive weekend for Jake Hill after a fairly reserved weekend at Brands Hatch. Obviously, 2/4, wasn't really in the fight.
It's a bit lackluster, wasn't it?
In race 3. Race 1 and 2, he pulled along, doing what he needed to do to a point, but never really troubled the front runners. And then, obviously, in race number 3, the tyre gives way and it's a retirement.
Yeah,
it's a big weekend, but it's a circuit where you would expect Hill to have a chance to bounce back. There's lots of traction zones. I think there's been a BMW on pole for certainly as long as I can remember. I'd expect there to be a BMW on pole this weekend.
Okay.
And I expect them to win at least one race, a BMW to win at least one race this weekend.
Yeah, you mentioned qualifying there. That starts at 20:40 on Saturday for half an hour. Just a normal session this time out. Obviously, we've had a couple of shootout sessions so far this season. I don't think that will change too much. I still think it will be fairly competitive at the top. Yeah, it's probably looking like it's going to be between those five drivers, if not those three teams in the Ford, Hyundai and BMW. Moving on to Sunday, we've got the first race at 11:25, which is 12 laps.
First touring car race.
Yes, first touring car race. You're very much looking forward to the first race of the day, though, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, as part of the losing the Ginettas, we have got a bit of a floating support series, which is good in some ways, bad in others. But this weekend, we are being treated to the Radicals, which I'm very much looking forward to. They look bonkers. They look very fun indeed. I'm not sure what the race is going to be like. I don't know if it's close racing. I don't know if it's contact racing. I don't know if it's a bit more processional. But I'm certainly interested to see those cars racing, as I've never seen them race before.
I think it's likely to be closer to the F4 sort of racing. Being open air sort of cars, not quite open wheel, obviously, but open cockpit racing, I think they'll be fairly similar to what we'll see from the F4s as well.
So long as it's not another Porsche race, I'm happy.
The second touring car race starts at 2:55, with the final race being the final race of the day at 5:15. Good luck for everyone getting out after that.
I do love your turn of phrase, the final race being the final race.
Thank you.
Good consumer advice.
What weather are we going to expect this weekend, mate?
Sun, which is exciting. You've got BBC. I'm going off Apple, just to add a bit of variety, just to make sure. And I've got highs of 18 degrees on both days. Ooh. And full sunshine. What have you got with the BBC?
A little more conservative, 17 degrees, but sunny intervals with a moderate breeze, which I think a lot of people are going to end up with windburn with that.
Well, if you want the full breakdown, Saturday's low will be the 7 degrees between 3 and 4, and the high will be 18 degrees at 3 o'clock. And on the Sunday, the high will be between 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock, where that will be 18 degrees. It'll be coldest at 3 in the morning.
Thank you, Michael Fish.
There will definitely not be a hurricane.
Shall we move on to some predictions for this weekend, sir?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've mentioned it a little bit there. I expect BMW to have a bit of a barnstormer this weekend. And I'm going for the pole position to be Colin Turkington. He loves the Wingfoot Award. You've got to give it to him. You know, it's between him and Hill for that foam wing on a shoe. And I think Colin wants it back. So I'm going Colin Turkington.
Interesting. I'm going in the other camp then. I'm going for Jake Hill. I think he's got a little bit of a point to prove this weekend after being, as I said, lackluster last time out, and I think he's going to have the speed.
I think that's harsh to say lackluster.
He certainly didn't have the pace of the top three.
That Rowbottom was lackluster. I wouldn't say Jake Hill was lackluster.
Rowbottom was disappointing last weekend.
I think lackluster's harsh, but okay, no
I
worries.
I called him mediocre.
No. Race winners then. I'm going fairly conservative on this. Colin Turkington, Ash Sutton. Sutton always goes well here. And he goes well everywhere, but he's got a history of going well here. Do you remember the year we were there when he did the Infinity Drive from, I can't remember, down the grid and won the race basically by lap three?
He's
ridiculous here. And it's going to happen at some point this year. I'm going to keep doing it until it does. Rory Butcher is a dark horse, damn it, and he's going to win a race.
Interesting. Okay. Well,
The reason for that, just briefly, is that you've mentioned about the chassis. I do think that Toyota have built a good chassis, and I do think a reverse grid could allow a Thompson or a Butcher a race win.
Okay, we'll see. I think looking at the pace so far this season, Collard might be more likely, seeing as he's already taken one on track.
Yeah, I can accept that.
He might be out for blood this weekend. But I am going to go for Hill for a race win as well. I'm pretty much going split camp to you, because I've gone for Camish rather than Sutton. But also Morgan. I'm thinking Morgan maybe for a reverse grid. I think he'll be there and thereabouts. He had a really bad weekend last time out. Recovered well in race three, but obviously caught up in the accident. So I think he seems to go well at SNET as well.
You see, I'd be more confident in going Jelly.
Would you?
I would, but there we go. Okay, Jack Sears for the weekend, Sam.
I've gone for Osborne.
Yeah, we've swapped around from last time. I've gone for Pearson. I think the Hyundai will just have a little bit of an edge this weekend on Osborne's Ford, but we shall see. Okay, so the general three predictions. I'm going for all BMWs to score points across the weekend.
Cop out. Sorry.
It's not, though, is it? Because Jelly didn't score points last weekend.
No, and I cursed him for that.
So it's not really a cop-out. And you've got Gellino top 10 on that, so well done.
As long as the BMWs don't have any accident or mechanical issues, I can see that happening fairly easily, I think.
What I'm going to love is that Gellino doesn't score in the top 10, top 15, but sets the fastest lap in race three just to get the point.
Yes, I noticed you put score points rather than finish top 15.
Absolutely. I'm going for a Napa treble podium. So Napa will have a car on the podium in all three races.
Okay, not like Sutton, Camish, Rowbottom all at the podium at once.
No.
Which is
how
they won't be 1-2 first time round.
Right, no, they'll have a podium in each of the three races.
Okay, yep. And your final one?
Edwards will out-qualify Powell.
Ooh, okay. We'll see. Hopefully the car's going to be working bit better, but we know that on its day the Civic can be quick here. Just depends who's more at the races, really. My three are, following on from that, that One Motorsport will outscore PMR this weekend.
Yeah, I can see that happening. I don't think the PMR Astra will suit Snetterton particularly well, and Josh Cook will score three top tens. So
that's what I'm hoping for. I'm going for Collard to outscore Butcher this weekend, which is a little bit bold, but for race pace wise, I think Collard's shown a little bit more so far this season. And then probably my boldest one is no Ingram podium. Bearing in mind he took three last season.
Yes, it's quite bold.
It is quite bold, but we'll see.
Yeah, Sutton Hill and Turkish, I think, will take the podium in race one and two in one, some order.
Yeah.
So yeah, I can see that happening. Okay, and obviously we're going this weekend, so the usual applies. Come and say hi, all that kind of stuff. We don't bite. But that also means that we get to do trackside The Price is Right. We've got an independent adjudicator this weekend who I've told she has to try and find the cheapest cupper she can to make this as interesting as possible. I'm going for £3 for a cup of tea.
Okay, I'm going to go for £3.19. And the reason that I haven't gone for £3.20 is because if it's £3.10, we don't get any points at all. So I want there to be a winner in this.
You're not learning your lesson. They won't make it £3.20. It's going to be £3.25 or £3.15, or they're not going to just do a random.
But I'll still be closer.
If there's any cup of tea that's over £3.19 or close to £3.19, then we might as well never go to a race again, because that's getting silly.
Cost of living crisis, mate.
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah, absolutely. Right. Okay. So I'd say we are going this weekend for the Sunday. We're going down Saturday night. I'm trying to convince Sam to have a barbecue. We shall see how that goes. If you see us on the Sunday, do feel free to come over and say hi. As always, feel free to give us your predictions in the comments on direct message or wherever else you want to chat to us. We're pretty good at responding, generally speaking. If I say so myself. Obviously, we'll be back with a full review and driver grades, rather. And just before we finish and get our final thoughts from each other, it is Mental Health Awareness Week, which is a cause close to certainly my heart. I don't want to speak for you, Sam, but it's certainly close to my heart. And you mentioned in passing the cozy living crisis a moment ago, in the predictions, there is a lot of reasons to be low on mental health at the moment, but there's also a lot of help out there. So don't suffer alone. Go and find help. There's lots on the website. If you type in Mental Health Awareness Week and hit the top website, that was always a good starting place. Mind are always a good place to look as well. This is not an advert. We're not being paid for this. This is just heartfelt advice to people out there.
And if you have got a friend that maybe feeling a little low or wants cheering up, then maybe get him to listen to this or her to listen to this. We can be quite funny sometimes, especially when we bicker.
Or they'll realise how bad we are and realise that life isn't that bad. But in all seriousness, if you have heard this, just contact a friend, just ask how they're doing, and you might be surprised on the response.
Yeah, even if you're going to the track this weekend, it could be your place of solace. And just chat to someone nearby. Yeah. Everyone's there for the same reason. And you might even make a new friend. That's how we met.
Absolutely. Right. Okay. The serious stuff out of the way then. Sam, what are your final thoughts for the upcoming weekend at Snetterton 300 Norfolk?
Three things.
I suppose. Go on then.
I'm going to get windburn and I'm going to come back looking like a beetroot. Look forward to that the review. Secondly, I think we might have a surprise entry into the top 10. Maybe. I don't know.
Take that.
A Boutel, maybe. Maybe an Edwards. Or maybe a Moffitt.
It's a top 10?
Yeah, I'm just putting it out there. And finally, I really hope the Snetterton proves you wrong this weekend and we have a brilliant weekend of racing.
Look, I like being proved wrong.
No,
I genuinely do.
No, you don't.
I do like being proved wrong. I will hold my hands up when I have been and eat humble pie with all the whipped cream with it. But we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. I'm not convinced. Obviously, last year it was the ridiculously hot Snetterton where nobody wanted to do anything. This year it won't be that bad, he says. So I expect it to be an improvement on last year, but we'll see how it goes. My final thoughts are we should have a barbecue on the Saturday night and take a brolly, take sun cream, take a hat, and we've got my new chair to try out this weekend. I was going to
say, don't forget your new chair, mate.
I know, my new stool. I'm very. There will be that will go on social media if the signal works to show off my new stool.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely taking a video of you trying to assemble it.
Yeah, here are the YouTube shorts.
But yeah, hopefully you enjoy the weekend. Remember to watch the qualifying on YouTube on Saturday. That is at 22:04. We'll be watching along and seeing what delights it brings along. Don't forget to subscribe, get the notification bell on, and yeah, we'll see you again for a review.
Bye for now.